had a lot of that yet this year, so it's been a beautiful morning. There's a terrible echo.
Yeah.
There we go. All right. Well, as Gary said in the announcements, next week is the Kanawha Valley Unity Service. And if you've not gone to that, go. Give it a chance. It's an uplifting experience. There'll be Michael Ross is going to speak. There'll be a worship leader who's coming in from Parkersburg. There'll be probably 300 or so people there, our brothers and sisters in Christ. We'll get together and get to fellowship with them. This service is going to be a little more fellowship-minded than the other ones have been, hopefully. And it's just a great opportunity to get to know your brothers and sisters in the area, to worship together, to praise God together. And, you know, we need to know our brothers and sisters. There's a lot of things we can do in this valley. It can grow and enhance our unity. And so if you've not come to that, make it a priority. Put it on the calendar. Be sure and go. We won't be meeting here. If you don't know where it is or you want to carpool, reach out to the church office or send us a Facebook message or call one of us. We'd be glad to meet and do transportation any way we need to. But I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a great time. And as you get off the Institute exit, there will be signs that will direct you to the hall where we're going to be. We've had a couple different halls over the years, so there will be signs to direct you where you need to get to. So this morning, we're going to continue what we've been talking about. We're looking at our vision for ourselves as Christians. Where are we individually? Where are we as a church? Are we growing in our faith in 2018, or are we falling behind? And we've looked at some of Satan's most effective tools that he uses against us. We looked at the tool of unforgiveness, doubt, the lie that Satan tells us that we have plenty of time before Jesus returns to make things right. We looked at anger, greed, fear. Last week we talked about self-deception and ways to be guarded from it. How are we doing in handling these tools Satan uses? Today we're going to discuss arrogance. Now you guys remember Muhammad Ali, right? Muhammad Ali was a great boxer, the best in his time. He would go around in arrogance and say what? I am the greatest. That's what he'd say. Humility was probably never one of his strong suits, right? Well, back in his prime, he was on an airplane that was getting ready to take off. And the flight attendant came to him several times and she said, sir, you need to buckle your seatbelt. And he wouldn't do it. And she kept telling him, sir, you need to buckle your seatbelt. Finally, he said, look, lady, I'm Superman. Superman don't need no seatbelt. And the flight attendant immediately shot back and said, Superman don't need no airplane either. Now buckle up. He didn't think that through, did he? You know, we all get humbled at times. I was humbled yesterday in a very big way. We went to the Good News Club training with Child Evangelism Fellowship, and it was a great day, great training, learned a lot, learned far more than I anticipated, which is always good. They had a great lunch prepared for us. There was barbecue and macaroni and cheese and potato salad and all the fixings, and I ate my plate, and I thought, man, I'd like to have some more of that macaroni and cheese and some more potato salad. So I go up and I get it, and Laura sat beside me all day, and Laura will never do this again, probably. But she sat beside me. She was my partner all day, and we bantered back and forth during the training. But as I rounded the chair to sit down with my macaroni and cheese and potato salad, the styrofoam plate cracked. The plate flipped out of my hand and stuck against Laura and slid down her leg into her shoe. Macaroni and cheese all over her. And I told Felindy, I said, man, if I could have pulled a lever and just died of shame right there, I'd have done it. But she was a pretty good sport about it, and, you know, the macaroni and cheese, I guess, washed out of her coat. Luckily, she was cold, so she actually had a coat on, so that shielded her from a lot of the fallout. But that was a very humbling experience, and I figured you'd enjoy that. But we know what it is to be arrogant, don't we? Have you ever been around somebody who's arrogant? Have you ever been arrogant yourself? You know, in order for us to spread God's will and to spread God's word the way he wants us to, the desire has to be in us. And many times maybe the reason we don't spread God's word the way we should or the way we'd like to is because of pride or because of arrogance. You know, Satan wants us to be arrogant in ourselves. He wants us to have this arrogance because when we have that, we have distance with God. And that's what Satan wants. In his book called The Applause of Heaven, Max Lucado tells a story of a man he came to know named Annabelle. Annabelle was a strong man. He had broad shoulders and big biceps and big chest. He was just a beast of a man. Tough in the toughest sense, truest sense of the word. But he was also a man who was confined to a prison cell, condemned for murder. Max went and met with Annabelle, and they began to talk about becoming a Christian. And Max wrote, "The eyes of the murderer softened at the thought that the one who knows him best loves him the most. His heart was touched as we discussed heaven, a hope that no executioner could take from him." But Max says that as the conversation turned to conversion, the fact of admitting he'd been wrong or he'd been sinful or that he needed forgiven was something that he just couldn't quite get around. I mean, this was a man who had never backed down to anybody, and he wasn't about to start now. Max finally just asked him point blank, "Don't you want to go to heaven?" "Well, sure I do," he said. And then there was a long period of silence. Finally, Annabelle said, "All right, I'll become one of your Christians, but don't expect it to change the way I live." Max said, "You don't draw up the rules. This is not a contract that you negotiate before signing. This is a gift from Almighty God that none of us deserve. But to receive it, you have to admit you want it and that you need it. And you have to be obedient to what God says." Annabelle ran his hands through his thick hair and he said, "Okay, but don't expect to see me at church on Sundays." And Max writes that as he watched this man pace back and forth in this tiny jail cell, he realized that his true prison was not made of brick and mortar, but it was made of arrogance and pride. Annabelle was twice in prison, once by the state for murder, but also by himself due to his stubbornness, arrogance, and pride. The Bible's clear. Scripture tells us, as Austin read, pride goes before destruction. And although we may be quicker to condemn the more visible sins, I think pride is probably one of the most deadly. Because you see, pride is a gateway sin to almost all other sins you can think of. And pride acts as a barrier between us and God, and between us being able to do what God wants us to do. And we know God does not like arrogance. Proverbs 8:13 says, "To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech." And we all know that it's wrong to look down on other people. Romans 12:3 says, "For by grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." We should never think more highly of ourselves than we should or look down on other people. Satan tells us that's okay. That's the way the world works. But God says otherwise. We know looking down on others is wrong. But I want our discussion, our conversation today to focus on our relationship with God. Are we arrogant before God? If Satan can get you and me to be arrogant before God in our relationship with God, then he's done a lot of what he needs to do to distance us from God himself. And an interesting thing, arrogance comes naturally, but humility is something we have to work on. It's something that takes discipline. Arrogance is confidence in ourselves and in what we can do for God as believers, but humility is confidence in God and what he's called us to do. You know, every parable that Jesus teaches gives us certain qualities for kingdom living. And in this parable in Luke chapter 14, Jesus is talking about arrogance versus humility. Luke chapter 14, beginning at verse 7. "When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor. for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, give this person your seat. Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, friend, move up to a better place. Then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Verse 11 is the key. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And this is based on several passages that we find in the Old Testament, one of them being Proverbs 25:7. It is better for him to say to you, come up here, than for him to humiliate you before his nobles, what you have seen with your eyes. And Jesus says something again very similar in Matthew 23:12. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. You see, if we exalt ourselves, if that's what we're about, then we hinder God's ability to use us for his glory. Because it's not about us. It's about him. There are two kinds of worship. There's Cain worship, which is man giving his best to God in arrogance. And there's Abel worship, which is man obeying God in humility. We know God rejected Cain's worship, but he accepted Abel's worship. Why? Because it was done in obedience. He was obeying what God said. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus discusses two aspects here in this parable. And the first one is arrogance. Luke 14, 8 and 9. When someone invites you to a feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, give this person your seat. Then humiliated, you will have to take a least important place. Wouldn't that be embarrassing? You ever done that? You ever sat somewhere and they came and said, I'm sorry, this isn't for you. This is for someone more distinguished. It's embarrassing, right? The curse of exalting, the curse of ambition is exalting ourselves. What is the basis of arrogance? You know, when you strip it down, when you look at it, I think the basis of arrogance is really fear. By that I mean we're afraid there will always be someone else who's maybe bigger than we are, or smarter than we are, or richer than we are, or younger than we are, or better looking than we are. No matter who we are, or what we've done, or how good we are, or what we do, there will always be somebody else who's better, right? If you believe that, say amen, right? And that brings us a sense of insecurity, because we don't want people to know that maybe we're weak. Maybe there's times we're not the best. Maybe we're not always on our toes and doing our best. That's really the root of a bully, right? A bully is really someone who's insecure, so they put up a false front because they want people to think they're bigger and badder than they are, right? But what happens when you confront a bully? He normally goes away, right? And sometimes arrogance finds its way into ministry, into what we do in the kingdom. And many times we don't even realize it. And that's why it's important for us to always examine ourselves, examine our motives. Ask yourself this question. Why am I doing what I'm doing now in the kingdom? And that answer, that honest answer, will tell you a lot about who you are and where you are. See, we have to realize it's not about us. Our purpose is far greater than ourselves. Satan will tell us it's all about us, right? He'll tell us it all depends on you, and you need to do this, and you get the glory, and you get the credit. But God says otherwise. Jesus is talking about arrogance here in Luke 14. He's also talking about humility. Verse 10. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, friend, move up to a better place. Then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests. Humility is not something that comes naturally, but it takes work. There's also this false sense of humility, which is kind of arrogance in disguise, I call it. You ever been around someone who wants you to know just how humble they are? You ever run into that? You try to compliment them, and they say, ah, it was nothing. Oh, you don't need to thank me for that. It was no big deal. I have a buddy, pure heart guy. He doesn't mean anything by this. His name's Bubba. He's an exterminator. And anytime you thank him for something, he always says, no big deal. They even text that, no big deal. But we do that sometimes. And what we're really doing is we're saying, please persist in telling me how great I am, because I don't want to really hear it, right? Humility, though, is such a great and important asset in kingdom work. And it's based on the right relationship with Christ, being in alignment with God's word, knowing and understanding who we really are in Jesus. You know, to combat this tool of arrogance, the best way to do it, I think, is getting to know God and who you are in his kingdom. And that comes by spending significant time with him, time on our knees, time in prayer, meditating with God, speaking to God, but also quiet time, letting God speak to us, to our hearts, and searching his word. We can't depend on what other people tell us, right? Just because grandma believed it, or mom and dad raised us that way, or the preacher and teacher say it, doesn't mean it's right. We've got to search the scriptures for our own understanding, to know who we are in Christ. And I believe this is the first step toward being used by God. Once I know and understand who I am in Christ, and recognize that my service is not about me, then we come to a very significant step in our Christian walk. And that's a proper appreciation of the gifts God has given us. Unless I know how God has blessed me and the gifts he's given me, I won't be able to use those blessings to help other people. You know, our blessings and our gifts are not for personal consumption, but it's for making a difference for those who need it. Are we doing the things God has equipped us to do? It's a question you have to ask yourself. Are you really doing the things God has prepared in advance for you to do? The reality is, we're not equipped for everything, right? You know, when I first became a Christian, I was a young kid, and I could not wait to lead singing. I wanted to do that more than anything. So not long after I was baptized, I got the chance. People were very nice. But I can tell you, it was a train wreck of epic proportion. If you could imagine the worst experience you've had in a song service and multiply that times 10, that's what that was. It became clear very quick, God had not equipped me for song leading. Are we seeking, though, to know what it is God has equipped us to do? Are we serving in the ways he's prepared for us? As I understand who I am in Christ and appreciate the blessings and gifts he's given me, then I'm able to do the things in the kingdom he's called me to do. And that brings me to properly appreciating other people and their gifts. You know, the Christian was never created to be a solo actor. We're in this together, right? We're in this together. And as I appreciate what God has done and given to me in gifts, I begin to appreciate the gifts and the blessings he's given other people. And when we get together as believers in Christ in unity, what a harmony that brings to glorify God. And isn't that our purpose? Bringing glory to our Father. You know, ministry can never be a compilation of individual performances. Performance draws the attention of the performer. That's not what God wants. God wants the attention and focus to be on him and his son who saved us. Understanding where I am in my Christian walk and the gifts God has given me helps me understand another dimension to my salvation. You know, when we become a Christian, we know what we're saved from, right? We are saved from being lost eternally. We are saved from hell. And that's important, and we praise God for that. But as we grow and as we mature, we need to focus on another dimension of that. Not so much what we've been saved from, but what we've been saved to. And that is to be humble servants in his kingdom, showing God, showing the love of God to the world. Am I where I am today because of my own initiative, or is it by God's leading? That's a question we have to ask ourselves. The more I understand the blessings and gifts God's given me, the more we find a connection with other believers, we praise God together, and we make an impact in our community. You know, this is a thought, and this is our challenge today. And you may not completely agree with me here, and that's okay. I've thought a lot about this and prayed a lot about this. But I'm going to say this, and I want to see what you think. If I am where I plan to be, then I'm probably not where God wants me. Think about that. If my whole life has led up to things I have planned 100% on my own, then I'm probably not where God wants me. And that really kills me because I'm a planner. Christy, we're planners, aren't we? Amen. I have a list at my desk, and I check it off as I do what I've got to do. And if something happens that's not on that list, let me tell you, it's a struggle. It really is. My staff jokes with me. I schedule you an early morning appointment. Don't freak out on me, you know. It's a struggle. But if I'm where I plan to be, am I really where God wants me? In our arrogance, we plan so much, don't we? We know what the future holds, we believe. We won't say that, but do our lives reflect that that's really what we believe? I can assure you I'm not where I plan to be. I was going to be a lawyer at the beach. It never once occurred to me that I'd live in West Virginia or Hurricane West Virginia. I'm sure there's a lot of people here who can identify with that, right? Talitha, you probably never thought you'd be coming to Hurricane West Virginia to stay, right? We always pick on the new people. I'm sorry. But it's true. Now, I'm thankful for this, right? I never planned to be a minister. I'm thankful for this. I couldn't imagine my life without you guys, your family, right? But it's interesting how God takes our lives and leads if we let him. Now, don't get me wrong. There's been plenty of opportunities in my own arrogance where I've made the plan and I've executed the plan and it hadn't gone so great, right? We can all identify with that. Where I am today, where we are today, should be the result of obedience to God, daily letting him lead us, in our humility, following him. We're told in Jeremiah he has plans for us, and guess what? Those plans are good, amen? We got to follow them. We got to look for them. What scripture authenticates what I'm doing in God's kingdom today? What scripture authenticates what you're doing in his kingdom? Am I arrogantly planning my own life and ministry? Or have I humbly submitted to God in humility to let him lead me? That should be our prayer, church. God, help me to be more humble today than I was yesterday. Help me to be more humble in my walk with you. Help me to look to you for my plan. Help me to look to you for my guidance. I don't know all the answers, God. There's plenty of unknowns. I got a lot more questions than I have answers. But God, I know you have the answers. You can see tomorrow. You can see 10 years from now. Lead me. But help me to follow. And when we pray that, God's Spirit will guide us, right? We're told he'll guide us. Are we listening for him? Are we watching? This Christian walk is far too good to be mired down in arrogance of our human minds. Amen. God's got great things for us. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, what's holding you back? Is it pride? Is it arrogance? Is it Satan's lie that you can do this on your own? You don't need all that church stuff? Are you listening for God's direction in your life? Are you searching? We all search in so many ways. Are you looking to God? Are you looking at his word? Look to him this morning. Let him save you. Come to Jesus and confess that he is Lord and Savior. Repent of your sins and be baptized where your sins are washed away, where you receive the gift of God's Holy Spirit, this Spirit that will lead you
Let God make you the person He wants you to be. Let Him give you the gifts He wants you to use for His glory. If you're here this morning and you have a need, we invite you to come now as we stand and sing.